This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, as the impeachment stalemate comes to an end, the House plans to send the articles of impeachment and the House managers over to the U.S. Senate, which will start the trial sometime this week. We'll talk about how all of that works and what's going on inside Iran today on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. You know, as we reported on Friday when I was in Washington, D.C., and now back here in our studios, our production studios, and probably be back in D.C., soon enough, we now know that the House, following the National Football Championship game tonight, so many of them are going to that, and they do gavel in tonight, but tomorrow the House Democrats will meet in their caucus to come up with a what they will vote on to essentially name who will make the case, they're called House managers, for impeachment in the U.S. Senate. An interesting part of this whole process is that the Democrats in favor of impeachment, to make the case, you can only use members of Congress. So it cannot be staff counsels. It can't be lawyers that they want to, or attorneys or law firms that they want to bring in to help make the case for impeachment and in support of the two articles of impeachment. What they have to do is actually name only current House of Representatives members. Members. Now, they haven't done that yet. You can imagine it would likely be people like Adam Schiff. It would likely be people like Jerry Nadler, but there will be others. There'll probably be some left out that you kind of say, wow. And then some that left out, you understand why they wouldn't necessarily have gone with that path, even though it would have made sense in the past because of what chairmanships they had. So we'll know that. We should know that by Wednesday or Thursday. As soon as the language is out, even before they vote, we know it'll be a very partisan vote to send this over to the U.S. Senate. But we should know exactly who is really what's key here is who is being sent over. And then we can take a look at who will be presenting the hours worth of at least, you know, 6-8 hours worth of the case for impeachment. Now, on the other side of this, on the president's side, he doesn't have that limit. When you are defending yourself against these articles of impeachment, he is able to bring in outside counsel. I could say it. I said it really all week last week, but my dad is officially on that team and will be on the floor of the U.S. Senate making the case against impeachment and against the articles. There will be a mix of both private, you know, outside attorneys and law attorneys and law firms, and also the White House counsel's office, which is led by White House counsel Pat Cipollone. So you'll start to see some who are inside the White House, who represent the president, the office of the president, and then those who represent President Trump in his capacity as Donald Trump. And again, so it's very different on each side, just on the, I'd say, the prosecution side, which is kind of the House role, and the defense side, which is the role of the attorneys for the president. Much more flexibility if you are on the defense side. We know now that there will not be witnesses called at the start, so that you will first hear what will first happen is a very intense debate on the rules. And that's the key here is timing. How long does it take Nancy Pelosi and the House Democrats to deliver this to the U.S. Senate? And then I can explain to you what will happen right away then. We are live. We are taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Your questions about this. And inside Iran, 3 days so far of sustained protest. Not chanting death to America, but chanting death to the dictator and out with the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. We'll explain that and more when we come back on Jay Seculo Live. You're watching on Facebook and Periscope. Share this with your friends and family. We'll be right back on Jay Seculo Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. As you know, I'm a member of the president's legal team. I'm trying to get Bree on air as much as possible live right now, and hope to be even during the once proceedings begin in the U.S. Senate, whether it's for half the show, some of the show, but to bring you live updates as well as commentary once things begin. What we're not going to do on this show is give away our arguments, give away the case we will make opposing these articles of impeachment. Only to go so far as to say we should not even be in this position. The president should never have been impeached in the first place. There's still an opportunity for the Senate to almost vote on a motion to dismiss. It would be a couple of votes to do that. We can get into that more later with Dan Bennett when he's on the broadcast later this week. Here is the key. So I've gotten you up until really, when does the House then decide to have the vote? Why is that important? Well, when the House votes to send this over to the U.S. Senate, we will know who the managers are. They will read the articles of impeachment. Senators will have to start swearing in. So will the Chief Justice. Then there you have 2 days to file an answer. It's like a reply to the articles. And that is then the answer comes from the president's legal team. And I use now that broader term to describe the president's legal team because it's not just made up of White House counsel. It's made up of, well, Jay Sekulow, too, who will be on the floor making the case against impeaching the president. And they have significant amount of time. We don't know exactly how long. So first off is, when does the House actually take up the vote? You know, what time of day matters? Because then they take it over to the Senate. Now, if we start looking at this happening as quickly as Tuesday, well, Thursday or Friday, we could start the initial, because they could move it over on Tuesday. You could have Thursday or Friday proceedings begin in the Senate, potentially even Saturday. And that first proceeding, so after the articles are read, is the one that is the least governed by any rules. And that is the proceeding to determine the rules. And there's some interesting things that we've all learned about this now, is that once you have the rules in place, you're going to have a set days and times, probably Monday through Saturday. It'll start at, you know, let's say to come up with 1 o'clock and it'll go till 6 p.m. or 7 o'clock at night, something like that. There might be, you know, short breaks in between, but I mean, you have to be there if you're a senator. You cannot leave. It's not like you can just show up for when you want to be there and vote on things and then come back and forth. It's not like that. It's like being a juror. You've got to be there the whole time. Same for the attorneys. Again, you might see different people sitting at the tables for the various the different two sides here. But you're getting significant amount of time to make your opening statements, they call it. But your opening statements could be somewhere between 8 to 12 hours of opening statements potentially. Now, that all depends on what will be a fairly, I think it will be one, the first thing you'll really be tuning into, and the first time you'll see the attorneys representing the president and the House managers, most who will be attorneys, I think, you don't have to be, representing those who favor impeachment, what the House voted out, would probably be Saturday at the earliest. It's hard to imagine. The House, probably the latest they vote on this is Thursday, if they vote on it this week, because they're not planned to be there on Friday. So if they do it Thursday, it's potential Saturday. And now, why is this? And now, it's either Saturday or after the MLK holiday, so Tuesday. So we know that. Why will you see the attorneys then, even before their opening statement? Well, this is the key time when you determine the rules. Now, it's like Mitch McConnell, the majority leader of the U.S. Senate, has said, I have enough votes so that we start the trial with opening statements, both sides, and then questions from the senators. By the way, those questions get submitted to the Chief Justice, who then actually reads the questions out to who they are directed at. So the senators, I mean, this is a time where they don't get to talk much. They do it, but there's this one day they do at the beginning, and that is the rule day, the day where you determine how this is all going to work out. So they're talking about using the Clinton model and things like that, and that's all wonderful and good, but there will be some changes, I'm sure, to that. There'll be amendments filed to say, we have to bring in witnesses at the start of the trial. You know, that will occur. What's interesting is that for every amendment offered to the rules, both sides get an hour to argue for or against that amendment. So you will see the attorneys before they make their opening statements, attorneys for the president and then the House managers who support impeachment, making their case. They don't always necessarily going to take up an hour each side, but they have up to, so it's up to 2 hours per amendment offered. So there's a chance that day is the kind of day in the Senate that you're kind of used to, in a sense of, though this will not be normal, but could go very late. You know, you could see it kind of even going over past midnight, 2-3 in the morning, to get it done. Because then once it's done, you have the rules. What time we start, what time we end each day, what happens at the end of the opening statements by both sides, and the questions is either you could vote to dismiss, you could vote on offer votes to bring in a witness, but that's not going to happen at the beginning. That would happen at the end. All of this, of course, is surrounding the Iowa caucus, February 3rd, the State of the Union, February 4th, and a number of now the top, in the top tier of the Democrat candidates, you have Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. Cory Booker dropped out, by the way, a U.S. senator who would have to be there the whole time too. But Amy Klobuchar as well, who, if they want to get out to Iowa, are going to have to be chartering planes to get out to Iowa every night to try and get out there at the end of the trial. They cannot, I think I can't underscore this enough, because we have not seen this really, where senators are silent and have to sit there. Which brings me to that issue of, that Nancy Pelosi brought up, this whole idea of, Mitch McConnell signed on to that resolution to support a potential motion to dismiss and not hold a trial. You could see why there's a number of reasons why these senators on both sides of the aisle, if they believe, as we all kind of figure out, and you can do the math, this is not getting to 67. You're not going to remove the president. Do you want to take this much time away from leading Democrat candidates? Now, not all of them. Joe Biden doesn't have to be there. Mayor Pete doesn't have to be there. And Mike Bloomberg and Tom Steyer don't. So they'll get their debate in tomorrow. Once the rules are set, we'll be able to kind of come onto the air and kind of talk you through, when will my dad be appearing? Likely the date, which day will that be? And, kind of what time of day? And that could always be shifting around, and you could appear more than once. You have this block of time to use. So just because, you know, you could say I'm doing it this, I'm also going to be doing this part. So it could be, it is hours kind of uninterrupted opening statement and then the question times. So there will be hours of the house managers delivering these statements. And I mean, is it going to be people like Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler? Usually they would be included. There should be others as well. We will take your phone calls 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Jacob in Alabama. It's a good question to kind of start off because I think it all starts off with in-game here is very difficult if you are actually trying to get the president impeached and not just doing this for political purposes to try and damage the president. Jacob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Yes, my question for you is how many Democrats are Democrats going to need to vote for the impeachment hearing? All Democrats are voting for the impeachment. But how many Republicans are they going to get to vote? Because they said the Republicans are not going to vote for the impeachment hearing. So
20. If they got all the Democrats, 20. And those who caucus with the Democrats, like Angus King. So you'd have to get 20 plus every Democrat. So 20 plus those 47. And by the way, I don't think every Democrat is a given here. And there have been some that have been clear about that. Doug Jones from Alabama, who's got to run for re-election. Joe Manchin in West Virginia, who is one of the more moderate members of the U.S. Senate. And down the middle, and certainly he is one of the, if not the most moderate member of the U.S. Senate for the Democrats. It's not a given. Now, they may vote on amendments to try and bring in witnesses, things like that, but at the end of the day, to actually remove the president, you would have to have all 43 Democrats and 20 Republicans. It's not there. It's not there right now. It's not going to be there at the end of this. But, you know, you're still dealing with a political branch. So shenanigans possible, of course. And that's why I think Mitch McConnell has got this option signed on to say, you know, if this is what it's going to look like and be shenanigan land, and Chuck Schumer tries to turn it into that, we are ready to potentially vote to just dismiss this whole thing. Take your phone calls. How could the Senate do that? It's possible as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 because it is their sole power to determine the rules of how this plays out and to try the impeachment. And in trials, you can have motions to dismiss right off the bat. Case can be thrown out. We'll talk about that as well. We come back. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Then how this impeachment works out, we're going to start taking more of your phone calls and your questions about this as well. This is an update from Than Bennett, who is on the broadcast almost every day, but on Monday has meetings on Capitol Hill that when he's able to get to, we want him to go. And here's what he took away from that meeting on Capitol Hill with congressional staff. Speaker Pelosi continues to insist that an announcement about the timing of a vote and who the managers will be from the House will occur tomorrow, after she meets with her conference. So sometime tomorrow, we'll know about the timing of a vote and who she has chosen, and or the Democrats have chosen, but let's be honest, Nancy Pelosi has chosen, to represent the House. Now, technically, they're representing House Democrats. It was an entirely partisan vote. No Republicans voted for impeachment. They are technically representing the House. And who will those people be? As Stan notes, she almost certainly knows the answer now, and has been talking with her prospective managers today. The vote could still happen as early as tomorrow. Now, if the vote were to happen as early as tomorrow, move my timeline up a bit, because you'd probably, okay, so you're going to get, you could get those House managers going over to the Senate Tuesday. That means Wednesday's things start moving in the U.S. Senate really formally. You get 2 days again to file an answer to the Democrats' charges of impeachment. The two articles, from the if you're representing the president, and then you get that rules debate. So you could move my timeline out to say, well, that, I mean, if they did it on Tuesday, then that rules debate and this trial could begin much early, well, you know, later in the week, but even before Saturday, and certainly before Tuesday. But again, this is a political process, still up to Nancy Pelosi on timing. She's still got to meet with her caucus. She's not doing that until Tuesday. Tomorrow, and we will see how ready they are to give this away, because that is, you know, to finally say it's to the U.S. Senate, and they can complain all they want then after that happens about processes in the Senate, but they have no role after that, except for those House managers, and their role is just to make a case. They can argue for and against things, but they don't have votes anymore on this. There's an update on timing. I do want to, let's take Cindy's call. This is a good one, too, on this dismissal issue, because this has come to light because Mitch McConnell has signed on to a resolution that, so it's ready to be brought if they believe it's necessary. Cindy calling from New Jersey online, too. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you very much. That's what I want to know. I want to know if they do, if you do put in for a dismissal, do all of the Republicans that are in the Senate have to vote? Do you need all their votes? All 51?
Okay, so there's 53 Republicans in the U.S. Senate. You would have to first, there's a rule, Harry, that requires 67 votes. So first you'd have to kind of do like a, you know, they would call it a nuclear option. Now, this has been done on everything else. Supreme Court nominees, lower court nominees, cabinet members, other, anybody else who needs to be confirmed. So you would need 51 votes to change that Senate rule potentially. And then 51 votes to dismiss this before, like, you'd get to this point of having opening statements by the attorneys and a trial beginning. So you'd have to have 51 Republicans. And, you know, I look at that, I say, right now, can I get there? I'm not sure. I think if you could, the reality of understanding how long this process takes and what the actual outcome is one thing. They also have to deal with their own political realities at home, because this is political in a sense, even though it's a very serious constitutional issue. But it is an option available to the majority leader, Harry, and it's something I think that really comes about if it looks and appears that the Democrats are not going about this in the Senate in a good faith manner to get this trial started once they get to that rules debate and things like that. If it looks like they're just, you know, just nonstop, because they know that at the end of the day, they lose on this. So how many political shots can they take at Republicans? If that's what it becomes, I could see someone like Mitch McConnell gathering his caucus and saying, let's get the 51 votes together. Enough is enough of this. Or they're just hurting us politically. It's not even about the president.
I think you're absolutely.
Chuck Schumer has said that.
Correct.
He's trying to take shots at senators through this.
that are up for re-election, not so much because he knows the president is not going to be actually impeached.
So I think there are two issues. One is the political peril that some Republican senators may face in their home state. And the other issue, of course, is the weakness, the demonstrable weakness of the impeachment case itself. So I think most impartial observers note that the impeachment case brought by the Democrats so far is a case largely without substance, grounded largely in misleading statements and no direct evidence of corrupt intent. So that's one thing. So I do agree with you, Jordan, that if the Democrats in the Senate take their game plan from Nancy Pelosi in the House and their focus is simply on obstruction, then this increases the odds that the Senate Republicans would be willing to change the rules. And it would take a vote of 51 U.S. senators to change the rules, and then we could see a vote to dismiss fairly quickly thereafter.
You're starting to see this, hear this from people like Senator Lindsey Graham. They haven't committed to doing this right off the bat, but they're about sick and tired of how this has gone, and I think they're going to, they would quickly tire if the Democrats in the Senate start acting like the Democrats from the House and don't take this more serious and start taking political shots at senators instead of focusing on the job of impeachment. Take a listen to Senator Graham, bite 26.
The Senate should not reward this behavior by the House. The Senate should end this trial as quickly as possible. That's what I intend to do. He will be acquitted. I hope and pray every Republican will reject what Nancy Pelosi did and we'll pick up a few Democrats.
All right, so there's Lindsey Graham. He's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee in the U.S. Senate, and he's been very outspoken about this and very direct that if it was going to be this fair process, yeah, have your trial. But if you're going to just make this all about like how the House, the behavior by the House, as he said, if that spills over into the Senate Democrats, then he's ready to say, let's end this. Let me take we'll hold Gene's question over as well. We're going to have an update for you, too, on what's happening inside Iran. It's very important as well for us to update you on what's happening around the world, not just focusing on the impeachment trial. But I did want to take today, before things I think get more wild tomorrow with Nancy Pelosi naming managers and getting timelines exactly of just how this kind of looks, what you should be prepared for. But I also want to focus on that news outside of Iran. So 1-800-684-3110, because it's been a lot of lack of reporting. Honestly, it started to get pick up today about what is internally happening in Iran, and it's not death to America that the protesters are chanting. They're not crying about Qassem Soleimani in the streets. In fact, they're calling for the end of the institution he was with, the Revolutionary Guard, and death to the dictator, which would be the Ayatollah. So we'll take your calls. We come back, 1-800-684-3110, second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. A lot of information up to it, aclj.org. That's aclj.org. aclj.org. And we're taking your phone calls. This is your day. If you got questions about kind of process, how this will work for the president, and how this impeachment moves now to the U.S. Senate, what would that look like? This is your day to ask it. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back. Second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
I think throughout this process of impeachment, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live in our second half hour. I'm going to try as much as possible. I am on the president's legal team, but as much as possible, once we get through the rules part of this, and again, to be able to come on the air live with you, because I think that most, for the most part, for our live broadcast, which is noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time, for purposes of that broadcast, the trial probably not begin any time before 1 in the U.S. Senate most days. So I should be able to do a decent amount of the show, or some of the show at least. So I want you to know now, and tell your friends and family now, if you actually want to hear from someone on the legal team, not just someone commenting, not telling you how they feel about things, or random attorneys you may see on television that say, you know, this is this, this is that, or if you want to know from somebody who's inside the room, on the Senate floor, in the back rooms as well, meeting with the people making, you know, the top attorneys making the decisions on this, like the White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, and chief counsel, the ACLJ, president, as they say, the attorney who's been with the president the longest throughout his presidency, Jay Sekulow, our chief counsel, my dad, then you want to tune into Jay Sekulow Live, because that's the only place you're going to get that during, while this trial is beginning. Now, that doesn't mean that we may not do some interviews here and there on other media outlets, but I will tell you that for the most part, you'll see a lot of members of Congress doing those, speaking out. You know, we're making the case to those 100 U.S. senators. They are the jury, if you will. They make the calls on this, and that's where the focus ends up being. We've got good questions coming in about this, but I want to update on Iran as well. A short update here, and we'll get into it more later in the broadcast. I want to go to Wes Smith on this. So, Wes, we saw the downing, tragically, of that Ukrainian Airlines flight full of civilians, hours after the missile barrage that was fired after the U.S., but not during it. It was after. And the person who fired that missile, and when they figured out that it was not a inbound missile from the U.S. or some kind of bomber from the U.S., but that it was a commercial airline, said, "I wish I was dead." We've heard that comment from the Revolutionary Guard. But it has sparked protest in Iran, protests that are not people crying over Qassem Soleimani, which are put together by the government, protests which are not calling for death to America, but instead death to the dictator. And in fact, you've even got this one. Let's play Bite 8 just so people can hear it. I'll translate it for people. So what are people saying there in Farsi? Soleimani is a murderer, and his leader, that would be the Ayatollah, is a traitor. We're on day 3 of these protests. Live fire has been utilized to try and stop. So live rounds, not just like tear gas. So they're killing protesters now again, mm-hmm, inside of Iran. Things turn very quickly in their narrative.
They absolutely have. You know, this is, as you said, third day of protest in at least 5 major cities in Iran. Keep in mind that it was only 2 months ago that several hundred protesters were killed by the security police and the Quds forces simply for demonstrating. They were protesting against government corruption and financial hardship at that time. But in these protests, it really is protesting against the Ayatollah, against the government, against the lying and deception. I thought it was interesting that they're protesting calling death to Khamenei, who is the supreme leader, because in Iran, that is a capital offense. To criticize the supreme leader is actually punishable possibly by death. So you have to admire the courage and the persistence of these demonstrators. I think the demonstrations will continue to expand over the next several days. The authorities there are warning the demonstrators to disperse, and so far they are not heeding those warnings. It's a volatile time in Iran.
All right, folks, we've got some really good questions coming in, and we will answer on the impeachment trial, what it would look like in the U.S. Senate, how it works, kind of the mechanics of that, if you will, as well as if you have questions about what's happening inside of Iran and why Nancy Pelosi dismissed it yesterday on the Sunday shows, because it goes against this narrative they want on Soleimani very quickly. That, oh, see, we've caused Iran to rally around their supreme leader for, what, 2 days? All it took was one misstep from the Revolutionary Guard to restart these protests in Iran. And now there's an administration and a president who's tweeting in Farsi in support of those protesters, unlike President Obama. We'll be back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Thanks for joining us for our second half hour. We're going to get to your questions. I know Gene and Jeff got some coming through on Facebook as well on the impeachment mechanics in just a moment. But just to kind of update you again on what's happening inside of Iran, third day of protest, not protesting America, not calling for death to America. This is not a regime-sponsored mass protest. These are actual Iranians, not put together by the government in a fake protest. They're not calling for death to America. They're not attacking our president. Instead, they're calling and saying, stop mourning Qassem Soleimani. They're saying death to the dictator, which is the Ayatollah. But, and Nancy Pelosi was asked about this. You know, this idea, Democrats tried to make it as, look, oh, because of the United States' action in taking out Qassem Soleimani, we have united the Islamic Republic of Iran behind the Ayatollah. Which, by the way, is like, for someone who is got as much information as she could have at her fingertips, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House. It's so misleading to know. We all know that the Iranian people are being, held back by a brutal regime because of people that existed like Qassem Soleimani and the Revolutionary Guard. But take a listen. This is how she tried to dismiss these protests. I can't stand this from these Democrats. I haven't liked it when the Obama administration did it, and I don't like it now. Take a listen.
The protesters are protesting, as I understand it, this brand of protesters, about the fact that that plane went down. And many students were on that plane, and these are largely students in the street. I think the Iranians should have not had commercial flights going off when there
they're
was...
They're calling at the regime for lying. They're saying death to Khamenei as well.
No, well, whatever it is.
Whatever it is, guys, how's your comments on this?
It's just crazy. It's insane. You know, the vitriol, the political bias blinds some of these Democrats. She's downplaying student demonstrators who for months, and if you go back to 2009, for years, have been protesting against their own government. These people long for freedom and true democracy, not this perverted theocracy. And yet she wants to downplay student demonstrators who actually are risking their lives, some of them losing their lives. Reminds me over the weekend, too, John Kerry in an interview when he was trying to defend the Obama administration giving the billions of dollars to Iran, which they used to export terrorism. He said, and I quote, "We gave them a little bit of money. It was $1.7 billion in cash and another $150 billion in other funds. And yet that's a little bit of money, and student demonstrators really aren't that big of a deal. They are a big deal. And the government in Iran is really in trouble. They're facing a combustible combination of domestic unrest over government corruption and financial hardship, as well as the economic hardship brought on by U.S. sanctions. For example, oil exports are down by 90%, which is their chief source of income. So there's a lot of unrest there, but it's not just students. It is certainly led by students in certain places like Tehran near the university. But these are Iranian people who are tired of being oppressed. As we said during one of the breaks, Jordan, you know, in 1979, when the Ayatollah Khomeini took power and the revolution took place, they were protesting against the Shah of Iran, who was a dictator. They protested against unreasonable arrest, murders, and restriction of freedom of speech. The Iran theocracy makes the Shah of Iran look mild and meek and mediocre. They are doing what they accuse that regime of in spades against their own people. And literally, Jordan, in the last 60 days, hundreds of Iranian citizens have been killed by their security forces simply because they are in the streets asking for freedom and democracy.
And again, Nancy Pelosi, she doubled down on this by 21.
The fact is this, there were protesters in the streets before against the regime. After the taking out of Soleimani, there were protesters in the street joined together, as you know, against us. That wasn't good. Taking down this plane is a terrible, terrible tragedy. And they should be held accountable for letting commercial flights go at a time that was so dangerous. But there are different reasons why people are in the street.
I think I agree with her there is it was a terrible tragedy, and they should be held accountable for letting commercial airlines go at the time. That's true after they're firing off ballistic missiles hours before. But the idea that there are different reasons why people are in the street, one is people being forced into the street by a regime at gunpoint, threaten people's lives. So the Iranian Revolutionary Guard said, you better show up in the street and fake cry for Qassem Soleimani and fake tears and stomp on, you know, the Israeli flag and the U.S. flag. But real protesters in Iran, that's not the same. There's not different reasons. There are real protesters and phony government protesters in Iran. Nancy Pelosi should be clear on that to the American people. Real protesters in Iran are risking their lives. If you're out there burning American flags and saying, crying about Qassem Soleimani and holding his picture up, you're not risking your life blocking the road. You are if you are refusing to step on an American flag, which student protesters were doing. They paint these all over the place so that people can step over and drive over them, but instead are driving over images of the Ayatollah and are chanting things again like this in Farsi. Take a listen to Byte 11. So what does that mean in English? Death to the dishonest supreme leader. Death to the supreme leader. So it's not the same. And this idea that we somehow, by taking out Qassem Soleimani, turned everyone in Iran against us, you realize that talking point lasted, I go, how long did that talking point last? A week? And before it sounds absurd. And so what we're really seeing is that Iran, a country which talks big, with their Revolutionary Guard, but when they fired off those missiles, it's a country that doesn't fire off a lot of missiles, to be honest, shouldn't be firing off a lot of missiles after what they did to this Ukrainian flight, and prove to their own people how embarrassing they are to the world and dangerous they are to the world when they've killed this many civilians from other countries.
Yeah, and one of the chants that we haven't played yet, they are actually chanting, America is not the enemy. America is not the enemy. They are protesting against, you know, the lying and incompetence, as they call it, of their government. And the state of Iran, their government, the legitimacy of that government is being challenged by these protesters. And unlike some previous demonstrations, actually over the weekend, some conservatives in Iran who normally support the government have also been calling out the government for some of the things they're doing and criticizing the government over the downing of this aircraft. And so I think the scale of the protest have caught the Iranian regime by surprise.
Yeah.
And for Nancy Pelosi to try and downplay it and soft pedal it, whenever those demonstrators, some of whom are being killed, are saying America is not the enemy, is unconscionable.
Yeah, we should all be celebrating that. Our president is. By Twitter, he's doing it in Farsi and English, so it's clear to the Iranian people that we're standing with them in solidarity. We appreciate how brave they are. We know how brave they are in going out and speaking out. In a sense, they are all risking their lives to protest that regime. And Harry, the idea, it's, you know, I don't want it to get lost. I think that every day we can, and so long as those protests continues, that throughout this entire impeachment, I know that will galvanize much of the country's attention, who's going to pay attention regardless to what's going on in the world or in the news. People that, you know, that pay attention, that, you know, that follow our broadcast to be very informed, that we should be covering it as well, because the media is not doing a great job of being honest and true about it.
I think you're precisely correct. I think first we should note that Democrats are perfectly willing to apologize for repressive regimes by attacking the United States government and the American people when they are prepared to stand up to dictators. Now the Democrats are prepared to attack effectively protesters who are standing up to the mullahs in Iran. So I think it's secondly very important to note that sanctions imposed by the Trump administration are indeed working. So maximum pressure is working. Still, I think Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats refuse to admit that. Instead, they are focused on the Iranian attack on the Ukrainian airline as a vehicle, if you will, in some cases, to further attack this administration. The Iranian regime bears responsibility for shooting down an unarmed airliner, including a large number of Canadian-Iranian citizens, and they should be held responsible for it. And Nancy Pelosi should be ashamed of herself for effectively downplaying these real demonstrations that are ongoing in Iran, where people are risking their lives every single day.
All right, folks, when we come back, we'll take your phone calls, your questions through that have come in through Facebook and Periscope, because I'm feeling like, you know, if the timeline could be right, that Dan is reporting that they start moving on this as quickly as Tuesday, and they don't slow walk it as they kind of have been in the past, because it is backfired on House Democrats and Nancy Pelosi, that, you know, we may not have a lot more shows to talk about procedure at all, and might be jumping right into this thing very quickly this week on when it comes to the impeachment trial in the U.S. Senate. So we're going to get into all those calls. And if you do have questions, this is the time to get them in. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Be on the air with us, 1-800-684-3110. As always, go to aclj.org. Stay updated on all of our cases, all of our work there at aclj.org. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
This is the time to get your questions coming. We've had one question come up a lot on Facebook and on Periscope, and that's are either side really, are they limited by, like, the House? Does Nancy Pelosi have limits to how many managers she can name? And, you know, does the president's legal team have limits? Now, I mean, you're limited by how much time you have to present your case. That's the limit. Now, I mean, you're not going to name 100 people to be House managers, or 20 even. I think, you know, somewhere it's going to be, I'd say it's probably 10 or less. And then out of those, only some may speak. And there's not, again, we haven't gotten the rules on how long each side will have yet. But let's imagine no less than six, up to 24 hours. Now, not 24 hours at one time, but, you know, over, you know, 3-4 days. So you're not going to have just one person handle that, or two, but you could have just four or five, maybe six, handle that long of a period. So we should know who those House managers are very soon. But we will, again, I want to take your questions about that as well, because Jeff's got questions about, you know, who is going to be presenting the case in the Senate against the president. That's the key here. That's when we talk about House managers. They are representing the articles of impeachment and making the case that the Senate should vote to remove the duly elected president of the United States. That's just the basics. No politics about that. Jeff's calling from North Carolina on line two. Jeff, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Guys, thank you for taking my call. So my question is this. As Speaker of the House, does Nancy Pelosi have the right to name anyone she wants as a manager, whether that be Republican or Democrat?
It's a good question. The right, no. The power, likely. So Nancy Pelosi, because she will set forward the resolution ultimately that sends over this resolution, which will be sending over the articles along with the managers being named. So the House actually votes on this. So could, you know, technically the House could vote against it. If they don't like what Nancy Pelosi or what managers have been presented, but they won't, because by the time she brings this forward for a vote, she gets, you know, it's her pick. Her one limit is that they have to be members of Congress. And I think it's key, because they didn't do that, Harry, when we got to the hearings on the House side, they utilized their staff counsel. They brought in, you know, Goldman from NBC News, and like kind of these more made for TV friendly, but serious attorneys, instead of them just bloviating, to kind of represent them. They can't do that in the Senate trial. They have to actually, as members, the current members of Congress have to be the ones presenting the case. That's not true for the president's legal team. President's legal team can include members of Congress, but it does not have to be only members of Congress.
I think that's correct. And secondarily, of course, the House Democrats will not necessarily face a friendly audience like they face in the House of Representatives. They control the entire process. But in the Senate, I think it's important to note that questions will indeed be asked, and the House's case and how poorly thought out it was will be subject to exposure through fair and impartial questioning. So I think that's another factor.
Yeah.
But I also think, as you correctly point out, that having a House lawyer who's a professional make the case actually would indeed be helpful to House Democrats. I don't think, this is just my own personal opinion, that Jerry Nadler, or, for instance, Adam Schiff, can make a convincing case, in part because both of those individuals participated, if you will, in developing a misleading record which will be subject to exposure in the Senate.
Yeah, Adam Schiff was asked about, does he think he will be one of those? Now, typically, you would be. He's done it before, the past on judges that have been impeached, because he was a Really, he headed this whole thing up, and his committee headed this up, and then it went to the judiciary. So Nadler and Schiff, you would think, but there's no rules about them having to be House managers. Here's Schiff being very careful not to upset Nancy Pelosi.
I'm wondering if you have a sense about whether you'll be an impeachment manager when this goes to a Senate trial.
Well, that'll be the speaker's decision. I don't want to get ahead of her thinking. I've told the speaker that I will play whatever role that she and the caucus believe would be useful.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be a sign of weakness if they don't choose him because he led the whole thing up. And Gene has a good question in Pennsylvania because it goes to the mechanics of this, which are going to be different than what people are used to when they see congressional hearings. Gene, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Quick question. After the House managers make their presentation, will there be questions from individual senators or committee chairmen, or how will that work?
Okay, so it's the full Senate that sits in this. So there's not like it matters, like, you know, by, I think, when they're commenting and their kind of roles they play, who's chairman, like Lindsey Graham being chairman of judiciary. So the roles he plays behind the scene with senators is important. But when they sit there, it's 100 U.S. senators. It's really the Republicans in charge with Majority Leader McConnell. They don't get to actually ask questions in the sense that you're used to. So in the sense that they verbally get to grandstand, or that they get 5 minutes each or 2 minutes each, likely what it will be is a certain amount of time. It could be 2 hours. It could be 4 hours where they're allowed to ask questions. They have to put those in writing, submit them to the Chief Justice, who will then ask the questions on their behalf and direct them to the relevant parties, who then can determine who they would want to answer the question if they want to answer the question. But it won't be that bloviating that you're used to. And I don't even mean that in a negative way. It's just you won't see from either side speeches instead of questions. They have to be real questions in writing, submitted to the Chief Justice, who then will direct them. So, and that's after both sides have their opening statement. First, it would be those in favor of impeachment. Then it will be the president's legal team. Then you'll have this question time, if you will, and they will submit questions that way. And Harry, that is different for the U.S. Senate because, again, in 2020, they're all looking for their 15 minutes. And really, one of the only times they're going to have the opportunity to do that until the very end of this, potentially. Is at the forefront over rules, not the most interesting time. And then they have to be basically silent. I mean, you may hear their name as Senator so-and-so has this question. And it won't just be, it's not just like Democrats in a row and Republicans in a row or back and forth. It's just kind of going to be this senator had this question, this senator had this question. But it's very formal.
Absolutely. And I think this will deprive these senators of their 15 seconds of fame. Yeah. And in some cases, I think that's a good thing for the American people. But I think they will have less interest in prolonging this agony, in large part because most House Democrats, for instance, and Senate Democrats believe that there's already a foregone outcome. So then the question becomes, what is the point of prolonging the pain that they are inflicting on the American people?
All right, so what we're going to watch for very closely tomorrow, after the national championship game tonight, is exactly how fast Democrats start moving on this. That will determine whether the Senate begins this week or after the MLK holiday. I mean, we'll kind of get a sense from that from Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats in the House tomorrow. We may hear news, we may get info, but they have the vote. They may kind of hold it out so things really wouldn't be able to start until after the holiday, or they might do it very quickly and you could get 3 days in of the trial before 1 day of the holiday. So it could go kind of either way right now. We'll update you about it tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live. Go to ACLJ.org to keep updated on our issues.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.